Welcome to AMD Tech Talk, your source for the latest in data center innovation and insight on AMD's latest technology breakthroughs. And now here's your host, Jim Green.
Welcome to the AMD Tech Talk podcast, and thanks for listening today. Our guest today is Robert Daigle, Director of Global AI Business at Lenovo. Robert, thanks a lot for joining us.
Jim, thank you so much for having me on today. Really excited about spending a few minutes to talk about my favorite topic, which is artificial intelligence.
That would make you a popular guy. Robert, just for a background, could you give us a little bit about your history and your role at Lenovo?
Sure, yeah. So I've actually been working in the AI technology space for a little over a decade now, starting in software as a service companies. I helped launch one of the first AI recruiting platforms back in 2014. And it was kind of a funny story. At the time, we didn't even really know what to call it. We were using machine learning algorithms to run this predictive recruiting platform. And we debated, do we call it an AI platform? Do we call it recruiting AI? Do we call it recruiting robotics technology? It really wasn't as well known of a term. Back in 2017, I joined Lenovo, and that's really when Lenovo started putting a strong focus on artificial intelligence. I've spent quite a few years in the AI hardware space, AI hardware and AI solutions space over the past few years at Lenovo. So it's been a strategic focus for Lenovo for quite some time. So it's not something we just jumped into recently, but really been a priority for us for a while.
It's funny how people have gone in the course of 10, 20 years from avoiding the word AI to applying AI where it doesn't even make sense. But we've got a great use case here. And as the director of global AI business, with your background, of course, your vantage point for enterprise adoption and utilization of AI is probably really excellent. Can you provide your view on what is shaping AI in the enterprise in 2024, given your customer set?
A big change that we've seen is this move away from it being optional or the thing that the leaders in the market will go do. Over the past few years, we've worked with a lot of organizations that were really the tip of the spear for their industry. And they were exploring things like, how do we use computer vision to do better crowd analytics, or a retailer that wants to use video analytics or facial analytics for understanding what customers are doing in the store and doing some type of behavior analysis on that. Manufacturers that are trying to do supply chain optimization or understand defects better and be able to mitigate those. But really, it was the tip of the spear. And now we're seeing this shift with a lot of this momentum is thanks to the introduction of AI to, I would say, the broader audience, not something that's bespoke or a science project or something that's just for research. It's something that people are talking about at the dinner table. Everyone has an opinion on AI today. And a lot of that happened through the launch of ChatGPT and exposing the world to the power of artificial intelligence with large language models. So a lot of what we're seeing today is around organizations trying to take that concept into their own data center or down to the device level. We call this approach hybrid AI. We're trying to enable companies to do AI wherever they need it, to bring the AI to their data, not the other way around. So that may mean enabling artificial intelligence use cases on AI PCs, PCs that have processing power to run the AI models, all the way up to, you know, what we're doing in the data center and a hybrid cloud environment. So we're really seeing data gravity. We've talked a lot about data gravity over the past few years. We're starting to see that take effect, and it's opening up the conversation to a lot of other things. Many times we start talking about generative AI, that's the shiny new toy, but that leads into other things or other use cases and computer vision and things like trying to fix the data governance and data management strategy for a lot of organizations.
So that's a great point, because you've covered here from almost the explosive growth in interest and really getting the dialogue going. What is your sense for the typical customer's readiness? It's a great idea, a great concept, and you could do some amazing things, but you can also do some very, very practical things. Where would you say customers are on the spectrum of readiness as a general rule?
Yeah, I would say it's one of the situations where eagerness and willingness is high, really across all customers. We don't see it as something that organizations are viewing as optional anymore. It's a must do, but still a failure to launch for a lot of enterprise organizations, because they get a directive. We have to go do something with AI. We've got to go do AI. And it's like, okay, well, what do you want to do with it? And that opens up a whole another can of worms with organizations and trying to unpack the use cases that they want to go apply it to and being very prescriptive about it, because you can go throw a bunch of money, consulting engagements, infrastructure, but if you're not solving a business challenge or resolving a business outcome, then it's going to be a short-lived investment. So to cite a recent CIO survey, number one business priority for most organizations, but still under half of organizations have launched into full-scale deployments of AI projects. And some of the key things that they are concerned with is how do we do it in a private and secure way to mitigate risk? Because the responsible aspect and the ethics and responsibility is a key part of that conversation for most enterprise organizations.
Given the constraints of, hey, we need to do this responsibly, we need to protect our data, we need to protect our customers, and we want to be successful. What are some of the core use cases that customers are tending to prioritize? Like you said, they've probably got hundreds of use cases that they could do. What are the ones that are really coming as low-hanging fruit, for lack of a better word?
A lot of organizations are either approaching it in one of two ways. Either they're trying to build a sandbox for the different business units and different departments to start experimenting. If you think of a CIO's responsibility, they're trying to make sense of how to enable their organization on their AI journey. And every business unit is going to have different priorities, different use cases. So one of the things that we see from the IT side of the house is how do we stand up the right environment that's enabled a lot of different types of use cases. And then when we start getting into defining what those use cases are, they're typically either a vertical driven outcome that's very specific to retail or smart cities or manufacturing, financial services, you know, they have very specific use cases, or it's domain specific. You know, if you look at a lot of the use cases for generative AI, it could be digital assistance for your call center to improve the customer satisfaction, time to resolution, and also reducing escalations in call center. That's a great use of generative AI to be more of a digital assistant to your tier one support. Knowledge management, content creation. If you're in marketing, a lot of people are interested in using generative AI to do content creation, but not just copywriting, video generation, image generation, but also creating marketing content into your like brand guidelines and format, which has been another way we've seen generative AI be used. So those are more domain specific, something for marketing or sales or customer support, development, DevOps, using AI to help generate and write code for software. Huge, huge opportunity and significant value in that. And then the other side of the coin, like I mentioned, retailers are trying to do things like improve their cart size for e-commerce using recommender systems, which have been around for some time, but also using generative AI into that to do a better job of recommender systems and customer engagement, analytics, everything from brick and mortar store analytics using spatial intelligence to what they're doing in e-commerce sites. Improving supply chain resiliency is a big one, and that affects retail and manufacturing. Smart cities is coming back online. Manufacturing organizations, I mentioned, they're doing everything from computer vision for defect detection and packet routing to supply chain optimization. Just a lot of different outcomes and use cases. That's one of the things that we do a lot of work with in our AI Discover Labs at Lenovo, is working with customers hand in hand and help them define their strategy. What are the top use cases that you want to go do that's going to actually impact your business and help you with your strategic priorities? And what's funny about that is many organizations start with an interest in generative AI, and then when they unpack their top priorities, sometimes the number one priority isn't something that a generative AI solution is really ideal for. So we like to steer customers towards the outcomes they want and do that in the most efficient way and using the best AI models and software and hardware that's going to reduce the cost for them to get started.
Great examples of start with the business need, then apply the technologies, not apply, hey, I got a technology, let's go find a use. Super examples. I appreciate that. You also mentioned infrastructure and the ability to work hand in hand with customers here. As we look at the infrastructure required to fuel AI in the enterprise, a lot of people think it's, hey, I need a big GPU system. But how does Lenovo innovate to deliver what's really needed? No one wants to buy more than they need. How do you innovate to deliver what's needed for the entire pipeline, whether it's classical machine learning or it's training or it's inferencing? How do you help scope?
Yeah, if we start with the use cases and then kind of back it into what's needed to deploy that, that's always the best place to start. We can be very prescriptive then on right-sizing the whole solution, not just the hardware, software, services, We want to right-size the whole solution so we're not over-prescribing more than what a customer needs, because we don't want to create artificial barriers to get started. Because what we've seen is if we can help accelerate time to value, help customers get started really quickly and see value from it, they're going to continue the investment. We're trying to do everything we can to make it easier for organizations to get started. On the infrastructure layer, it could be right-sizing and being prescriptive about you don't need a GPU for everything. There's a case for GPUs, and you don't need the highest performance interconnected accelerators for every use case. That's great. If you're trying to train a 100 billion plus parameter model from scratch, yeah, having that really high-end compute with interconnected GPUs in a system is the right choice. But for a lot of enterprise customers, they're just going to be looking at inferencing and maybe doing some fine tuning, but mostly they're going to be looking at inferencing. And there's even a trend towards smaller language models. Mm-hmm. They're more prescriptive for a specific outcome. Well, for that, in some cases, you can run those directly on the CPU, or you can use a smaller, lighter weight accelerator that's going to reduce the cost and still deliver really good performance. Mm-hmm. So we start with the use case, and then we kind of back that into what are the t-shirt sizes for those specific outcomes, and actually have a battle-tested solution for that that we benchmarked, and we know that the performance is going to deliver, but also that we're not over-prescribing. And that means that we have to work very closely with our software partners too, so both upstream and downstream. We've got to work with partner closer with AMD and on the infrastructure side, but it also means I partner very closely with the software organizations that we're trying to run, because a lot of the optimization happens on the actual software. If you look at things like MLPerf and kind of industry standard benchmarks, most of the innovation that's happened has not been just by throwing higher performance compute at it, but it's been around improving and optimizing the software stack. So that's a huge part of it as well.
So that rule of thumb and basic t-shirt sizing, is that a good starting place to get to the customer? Again, because you don't want to boil the ocean, you will kind of want to get to things that can be actionable. And you start putting in testing. How quickly do you go from that t-shirt sizing discussion to, hey, I think you should try it first on a CPU or a GPU or what have you?
Typically, the engagement model for customers, and I wish there was like a single blueprint that every customer follows, but the reality is, there's not one specific path that every customer is going to follow. They're all going to be at different maturity levels. So if you're thinking about, hey, we're not that far along, we don't even know what use cases that we're going to develop, that's completely okay. A lot of people are at that stage today. But if we were kind of to map out a typical journey, at first it's about discovery. It's about understanding the capabilities of artificial intelligence, the limitations of it as well, are really important. There's a lot of learning that we do with customers, training and help them understand the benefits and limitations of artificial intelligence. And that's where you get into things like why AI models hallucinate, mm-hmm. how to prevent it and things like that. So there's a lot of discovery that happens there, and then understanding how to apply it to their specific use cases or challenges in their organization. And we've got for customers, this discovery workshop puts them on the right path, and then they go out and do some learning and exploration. That's great, but we also see customers that want us to come in and do more on-hand advisory services. And typically, the other big milestone is proof of concept and trying to get that first POC to a successful stage. And so we do something called FastStart services for that. And every organization, every vendor probably has something similar to this, but really it's about how quickly can we help you see time to value, or how can we shorten the time to value so you can start proving out how you're leveraging artificial intelligence. And so that's typically a pre-canned POC in a box, the hardware, the software, services, advisory services, consulting services to get started, one low price tag that provides a starting point for customers. And we've seen that be really, really successful. And then it's just about taking that and working with you to prove out the business case, because you have to come back to some type of ROI. You're trying to speed up your DevOps efficiency. You've got to come back with the ROI and say, you know what, we can improve our sprints where we're getting down to cutting 40% or 50% off of the time it takes us to on a sprint. Or that also means we can do, 20%, maybe even 50% more with the same development team. So it helps us reduce the need to go out and bring on more staff that would be much more efficient with this staff that we have. Those are the type of ROI outcomes that we're helping organizations with, because ultimately their CFO is going to have to sign off on it on some point. And that's the avenue to do it. Really quick time to value. And then it's about taking it from there to a, you know, enterprise grade, battle tested solution that they can roll out more broadly and then expand, of course, into other use cases after they have the first one be successful.
At what point in the customer journey do you tend to talk about the ethical use cases, the security, and other guardrails you really need to put in place to align with overall corporate objectives for data protection, employee protection, partner protection, et cetera?
You know, we're seeing that come up more and more in the first call, even in the first discussion, which is really interesting. It's no longer an afterthought. It's got to be built in. A few years ago at Lenovo, we stood up a responsible AI committee internal to Lenovo. And really, it was about making sure that we're taking a responsible approach to how we use AI internally or any type of artificial intelligence technology we're taking to our customers. So we have a multi-step process that if it has AI in it, in any form or function, even if it's just something we're using internally, it has to go through this review. And we're looking at how the model was developed. How was the data source that it was trained on? We're looking at not just security things, but also diversity and inclusion aspects. Are there biases in the data? Are there security vulnerabilities that are introduced by this AI solution or piece of technology? All of those things. We actually have 7 pillars of our responsible AI committee that we use to evaluate every solution. Again, where that's going is now customers are asking us, okay, can you share that with us? Can you give us a template to look at? So we're not getting into legal advice, but we are going through what's the broad approach to applying a policy, because some organizations came up gate last year and said, hey, you're not going to use large language models in our organization. So you have to balance security, privacy, responsible aspects of AI. You have to balance that with innovation. And at some point, are you stifling innovation? Are you holding the company back or the organization back? Start with building responsible and ethical AI in from day one. And that's what we've seen a lot of our customers. Day one, that's a part of the conversation.
It's good to hear. It's always much harder to bolt those things on after you've built something, for sure. I'm sure another really important topic that comes to the table very, very quickly is energy. A lot of attention is paid to what it takes to deliver AI at scale. What are the opportunities to help customers figure out how to manage some of the power draws and the new cooling requirements and really just address the whole demand just for even greenfield AI buildouts?
There's a couple ways to think about it. So with the trajectory of fairly, I would say everything around AI is on an exponential curve. The model sizes are growing at an exponential rate. The data sizes, token sizes, and then essentially the data sets people are working with, you know, are growing at an exponential rate. A lot of these really large language models are trained on internet scale data. So everything is exponential. And the other thing that's exponential is the power consumption of everything that's going into a server. And you start to break that down. If you're using GPUs to train AI models, the GPUs are growing at an exponential rate. And it used to be 250, 300 watts per GPU. Now we're in 600 to 700 watt range, and in the future, kilowatt plus range per GPU. That puts you into a server that, you know, just for a single node, it could be north of 10 kilowatts, maybe 15 kilowatt. At a rack level, it's 100 to 120 kilowatts per rack. And that breaks most data centers today, unless you're a big CSP or high performance computing. And the bigger issue is this puts you on a direct path to really go against your sustainability objectives and sustainability goals. So liquid cooling has been a big part of our approach. It's not the only solution. There's not one thing that solves it. But if you look at some of the large language models, if you just take the two top vendors for large language models today, I saw a stat recently in the next 2 years, they're going to consume more power than a small country. And I think overall, AI data centers are already consuming more power than, I think it's in the top 20 country, AI collectively is consuming more power. The sustainability is going to be a huge challenge going forward for people that are using this really big GPU clusters for training models. So there's a couple ways that you can go about it. A, if you have to do that, you use liquid cooling. That typically saves you about 40% on power. Today, with our direct-to-node warm water-cooled solutions, which are open-loop cooling solutions, we can extract about 98% of the heat, so about 98% heat recovery with warm water. And you'd say, yeah, really warm water. Yeah, we're using 50 degree C water. It's just enough. And actually, it's much more efficient than using cold water or using other types of glycol-based solution. It's easier to work with. Goes into a standard data center rack. As long as you have water to your data center, you have a plumb, you can start using these liquid-cooled solutions. 40% power savings on average. And this helps customers quickly get down to the PUE closer to that 1.1 range, sometimes even better, by using that type of technology. And then there's stepping stone hybrid cooled solutions that we have, that servers that can go to air cooled data center and use a hybrid cooled loop that provides some power savings. And then even outdoor heat exchangers. So we see customers kind of use these as stepping stones to get into things like direct to node. But there's other ways that we see customers being more efficient. A, do you need a large language model for everything? And the answer is no. You were seeing this pivot towards using smaller language models that are fine-tuned and trained for specific outcomes. The fine-tuning process, we're using some point lower-based fine-tuning, it's gotten a lot easier to do. And then there's other ways to approach it, which is use more efficient silicon. Do you need a GPU if you're doing an inference and you're running inference on the same thing over and over and over again? Do you use FPGA or an ASIC? It's going to be more efficient for that type. You know, GPUs are great. They're a general purpose for AI workload, but they are also kind of power hungry and they're great for training. I don't see that changing, but for inferencing, as these projects start to move with our customers from training models to getting into deployment and inferencing the models, you're definitely going to see approach to a more fragmented ecosystem of technology that's just going to provide a lot more efficiency, where customers are going to be programming FPGAs for inferencing or using ASICs.
Well, yeah, if we're going to be able to balance the innovation and the need for sustainability, keeping our planet intact, it's really got to be a combination of making the right choices with right sizing and picking the right infrastructure to not be wasteful. But also technology needs to continue to get better, right? You need to be able to drive more efficiency out of the hardware and software, and it's all going to evolve together. So as this scenario is so fluid, how can customers connect and learn more from Lenovo about how they can address their AI solutions?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking, Jim. So there's a couple ways. Of course, we have thousands of Lenovo reps around the world. So if you know a Lenovo rep, you can reach out to them. You can contact me on LinkedIn. Or you can visit lenovo.com/AI. That's lenovo.com/AI. We've got a great overview. Some of the things I mentioned today, everything from responsibility ethics and AI to the infrastructure to what we're doing around sustainability to even how we're enabling enterprise AI with our software partners. So a lot of great content out there that customers can go take a look at. And of course, we're always here to help ensure that our customers are successful on this journey.
Great. This has been a wonderful discussion about that journey and an opportunity to help move people along that. So Robert, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today.
Jim, thank you so much for having me. It was great to be here.
And thanks to our audience for listening as we talk tech. Until next time.
Thanks for joining AMD Tech Talk. Find out more about the technologies discussed today at www.amd.com.